You know, every Sunday before I come out, I have a prayer. My prayer is this. I always pray that at least just one person, if it's just one person that is blessed and touched, then I feel I have done my duty. I have done my job. And sometimes the one person is me. And I'm grateful and thankful. Sometimes the message is for me. And as I give it or receive it or hear it, I say, thank you, God. But the thing that I like is that I've been thinking about this whole notion of church and our role in it. And there's something very powerful when the saints, the community, the believers, the people who have share like-minded thoughts and feelings, there's something that happens when they come together. Church means the Ecclesiastes, it's the gathering of the anointed ones, the sacred ones. And so there's something very powerful when we come together. Even those of you beautiful souls who are joining us online, you are a part of the community. You are sending your high vibrations, and we are here receiving it. But I'll say this, there's nothing like having, you know, that one-on-one. There's nothing like being together to feel, because we come, you know, if you think about why do you come to church? One of my teachers in ministerial school, when they were trying to help us to understand our credo, why are we ministering? Why do we feel we're called to church or to come together? And he would say that the church is a way station. It is a way station for healing. It is a way station for helping people to not only remember who they are, but to remember who God is in their lives. And that people come together for this opportunity to encourage, as I said, to support, to love each other, but to feel that sense of community and communion and belonging together so that we are coming to bring forth healing for each other. We don't know when someone comes in there what that soul is experiencing that day. And I don't know if you have experienced this. Maybe you were down, but some stranger just looked you in the eye and smiled at you, and you thought, oh, okay, it's all right. It's going to be okay. Because we don't know whether we are entertaining angels unaware in our midst and what we're doing for each other. And so people gather at this way station. And he basically, the funny part, he used to say, so don't mind when the people come that are off-centered and maybe they're a pain in the neck, and they're coming for healing. They're coming to the place where they know there's going to be acceptance and love, right? And a place for them to be and to heal. So I like to say the doors of the church are open. Let whoever come, let them come. And sometimes the people come and we're like, whoa, okay. But when you're not well, when you are not, you're seeking what? A place of healing. You're going to seek out healing one way or the other. You want to seek a place where you can feel a sense of wholeness, because that's what healing means, wholeness and oneness, right? And we're always looking for that in life. Whether it's through a church or community, we're always looking for that because there's always something in us that needs to be made whole. Will thou be healed? It's a powerful question that Jesus the Christ asked. And we're always needing to be healed of something. And so when we come together, you know, in a place such as this, we're doing that to make sure that we can feel a sense of connectedness, relationship, oneness, to be made whole. And certainly in our world today, it's no secret that the world is in need of what? Some healing. The world is in need of the healing vibrations that we know are available to us. And so we can ask the world, wilt thou be made whole? Because whenever you see confusion, when you see energy that's upset, sometimes it's simply a call. It's a call for healing. It's a call for love. You know, the teachers in the school say when the child is showing out and misbehaving, it's not that that child is a bad person, but they may be needing what love and attention, and the only way they know how to do it is to call it out, to act it out. And so we think about this world, how are we going to play a part in bringing forth healing? How can we do that if we ourselves are not feeling whole and well? And what is needed for us to feel, oh, okay, yes, I can. Yes, I'm strong. Yes, I have the ability. You know, I think some of us thought that when COVID came and we had a little respite because we had 3 years to slow down, 3 years to get quiet, three years to actually, you know, come apart for a while. And hopefully we would have thought that we would have used that time to really build up our sense of self and to be made whole. But research has shown that just the opposite happened. That even though people had a chance to slow down and come apart for a while, they also felt a sense of separation, of disconnection. And so anxiety rose, depression rose, right? Resistance to all the stress that was going on. So at the end of it, people, instead of feeling more, they were like, more anxious, more depressed, more stressed out. And there was tremendous change that took place. Everything on every level just about has changed. We have changed. I'm looking and I'm talking to beautiful souls out there, and I'm looking and talking to beautiful souls in here. Everything has shifted and changed, and we know that whenever there's tremendous change, it can be stressful. It can be, whether you're prepared for it or not. If you got to make a move, it's stressful. You got to pack up stuff. If you change jobs, it's stressful. If you change your relationships, it's stressful. You know, so any type of change can be something that moves us off of our center, moves us away from feeling whole and complete and at peace and just, you know, sort of free to be who we want to be and who we know we've been created to be. And we, the world, is standing in the midst of great change. Transformation on the planet is happening. Now, change isn't always easy and it doesn't always look pretty, but it's happening and we can see it. Not only on the world's stage, but we see that we as a nation are standing on the precipice of great change. Come November, this nation's going to change one way or another, right? We will either be changing towards greater freedom and democracy, or we will be making a change towards something else. And I don't even know what to call the something else. There's lots of things we can call it. I'm not really sure, but this is what I do believe, that whatever that something else is that it will be something that affects our rights and our freedoms. That our rights and our freedoms might be stripped away, either totally or at least limited in some part. Because we can see that kind of happening now and being set up now. And so, which way? Emily Cady, in her book, the first chapter, she has liberty or freedom, or liberty or freedom, right? Which one you going to choose? Bondage? She says, liberty or bondage? You going to choose bondage or you going to choose liberty? Which one? And we are at the place right now, personally, globally, and also as a nation. What are we choosing? Liberty or bondage? Freedom or struggle? And not to be able. So I'm thinking that freedom is on the ballot in November. Freedom is on the ballot in November. And so this is really important because I want us to understand what freedom is really about, the freedom I'm talking about. Because the freedom that I'm speaking of is not just something that's given to us, right? By someone or something else. We're waiting for somebody to make us free and give us our freedom. You know, but freedom, real freedom, is not something that is given to you by someone else. Freedom is an inside job. It's an inside job, even though there are things that, you know, we see in the outer that speak to freedom. Even though there are things like we have the Declaration of Independence, we have the Bill of Rights that tell us we have rights, we have, you know, all of these things, but the freedom I'm talking about is spiritual. It's spiritual in nature. And even though man might want to take away some of your rights and your freedoms, there are some that are what the Declaration says are unalienable rights. And I love this one because I looked up the definition. Let's see. It wants my face, my code here. Okay. So I love this because unalienable rights. Well, I had it up, but it goes away. So listen to the definition of unalienable rights: are a type of human right that cannot be taken away from a person under any circumstances. They are different from alienable rights, which are not guaranteed universally. The unalienable means something is incapable of being taken away or given up. For example, the Declaration of Independence states that all people are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those things cannot be given to us by somebody else. They come from spirit. The life you're living is a spiritual essence and entity, right? And no man necessarily, like I just told the parents, yes, they helped be the vessels through which that child came, but they did not create that life. Life is created by God, right? And same thing here with liberty. Liberty is not given by somebody else. It is something that is innate to our own inner being. Happiness. See, this is, we need to understand, somebody else can't make you happy. Some other thing outside of yourself can't give you happiness. And that's where most of us have a little challenge because we're seeking and searching. Oh, can you help me be happy? You got my joy? Oh, they took my joy away. Your joy, if it's true joy, cannot be taken. Your life, even though the body may fail or whatever, but your life cannot be taken. It's eternal, right? Your conscience, it's all in here. So we have to understand this notion of this concept of freedom. It is an unalienable right and experience. It is not something that is given to us. It is a part of our spiritual DNA. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he or she is free indeed. We are free. But I want to ask you this. Have you always felt free? Why? Have you always felt free? Free to just be you, do you? No, because I bet you that there are times and were times in your life where you felt you were in bondage. Bondage to someone else or to something else. Bondage to perhaps a situation or an obligation or a perspective, right? Maybe being in bondage to our own thoughts and beliefs and opinions and ideas that we're stuck in, we're bound to. Right? We're bound to our paradigms, the way in which we have been conditioned to see life and how life works. We've been a prisoner within our own minds. And so freedom has nothing to do with your outer circumstance necessarily, because there are people who have been imprisoned who are free, free, free. And there are people who are walking around free, but they are imprisoned. Right? And so we have to understand how this concept really works. And what we can do about it. When I got my diagnosis, I've had the privilege these last whatever, however many months now, to struggle with what I call unbidden thoughts. Those are thoughts that just pop up into your mind or consciousness. They've not been invited to the party, but they decided to crash the party nonetheless, right? And usually, not all, but because there's a statistic, and I can't remember what it was, that most of the thoughts that we think, I think it's either 60 or 80% of them are negative thoughts. Not really positive thoughts. So the opportunity for some negative thought to jump up in your consciousness is pretty real. And they might be, you could label them negative thoughts, or maybe fearful thoughts, or doubtful thoughts, or what worse scenario thoughts. And so I've had this blessed opportunity to watch this struggle internally between the truth that I know, the belief that I hold, and these unbidden, unwelcome, uninvited thoughts that are popping up. And I'm like, what? Where is that coming from, right? Why am I imaging a worst scenario picture here? And so what happens is when they come up, I have to then wind myself back to the truth that I know. I've got to take my consciousness and say, okay, wait a minute. Because when they come up, they engender not just thoughts, but they engender what? Feelings. Anxiety, stress. Oh, so now I was having some peace. Now these thoughts have come. I've got to work my truth again. I've got to wind myself back to some positive thoughts, positive images, back to what I want to see happening, back to the outcome I want to have. And so I've got to work to get myself back there again. And I do, because I'm a truth student. And so I get myself back there again, and I'm going on my journey. I'm feeling good until here comes another unbidden thought, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm back to where I was again. And I've got to start the process all over again. And I'm thinking, I want to be free of this mental merry-go-round. I'm in a place of acceptance. I'm in a place of hope. I'm in a place of faith. I'm in a place of joy. I'm in a place of knowing. And then 2 seconds later, metaphorically, I'm in a place of doubt. I'm in a place of worry. I'm in a place of concern. And I'm like, what? Get back over here. And so it's a constant working with these thoughts and feelings, the unbidden ones that come. But there is a way to deal with them. But before I get to that way to deal with them, I love this quote that Bob Marley used. And it's actually a quote from Marcus Garvey. But Bob Marley put it in his song, The Redemption Song, which I really love. And I wanted to read some of the lyrics. I'm not going to read all of them. But this is from Redemption Song by Bob Marley. He says, old pirates, yes, they rob I. Now, the old pirates, you know, in my mind, are those old thoughts that want to steal your joy or whatever. He says, old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but us can free our minds. Now, for me, the song goes on and on, but for me, that's the line right there, right? That's the line right there. He says, emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. That's the key right there, right? So I just... You know, I love that, because sometimes we are trapped in our own minds. We are trapped in old paradigms that no longer serve us well. They don't serve us well. And we've become a slave to these unbidden thoughts and feelings and fears and projections. But none but ourselves can free our minds. But what do we do, you know, because freedom, I just said, it was what? An inside job. And it has to do with your mental state. And only you can give it to yourself. Nobody can give you the freedom of peace, of mind. You have to give that to yourself. Sometimes we think situations will give us peace of mind. Mm-mm. Peace of mind is a state of being that you must open yourself up to, regardless of the outer situation and circumstance. If we keep focusing on the outer, we're always going to be tossed to and fro, because things in the outer constantly do what? Change. There is no surety in this outer world. What was true, small t, today may be gone tomorrow. And so if you've hitched everything on this particular thought, this particular situation, this particular truth, and everything is hitched on that, your happiness, your sense of well-being, your peace of mind, and that thing changes, well, now you're in a heap of trouble. You are unearthed. So we have to understand the true source, the real secret to freedom or peace or joy or any of these other unalienable qualities of being. And they're inside. They're inside. So if it's a mental state, then how do we handle all of those unconscious thoughts that come into our mind, those unbidden ones that just pop up? And they take us to the unimaginable, but yet we imagine it. They take us to the thoughts of doubt and fear, whatever, and we just go on and on. Now, we know, I want to talk a little bit about how we can work with these unbidden thoughts, but we have to understand the workings of the mind. So we know that we have freedom within our conscious mind. That's the mind you all are using right now to listen, to decipher whether you agree or don't agree, like, don't like, this is good, not so good, oh, I'm hot, whatever, whatever. It's the conscious mind that is at work, right? And we, for the most part, we can choose when we are in the conscious mind, phase of mind, we can choose how we want to think about something. We can choose to think in a certain way. We can, when we do our affirmations, we're choosing to think from a positive perspective. So we're using this conscious mind to do that. We can use the conscious mind to entertain the thoughts that are in our minds. I'm going to take this thought, I'll ponder a little bit. What about this? I can use my knowledge and my wisdom, and I entertain the thoughts. And that's all good. But what about those unbidden thoughts? What about those thoughts that dwell in the subconscious mind? What about those thoughts that come from the subconscious mind and they are actually rendering us unconscious? So we are thinking, but we are unconscious about what we're thinking. We are unconscious when a thought, a feeling just simply pops up and arises. And if we don't use the conscious mind to observe it, the unconscious will take us places we don't want to go, down the rabbit hole. The rabbit hole of confusion or fear or whatever. And the mind begins, these thoughts begin to use us as opposed to us using them. And now we're caught in an unconscious experience, an expression, and maybe we then feel we're triggered. We don't know where the trigger came from. Somebody says a word and that unconscious thought or that subconscious thought takes us to a feeling of being threatened, a feeling of being scared, a feeling of being whatever, and we're moving on an automatic way without conscious thought. And what happens is these unconscious and the subconscious mind, when it's active, will produce sometimes unconscious thoughts that wreak havoc in our consciousness, because we're not thinking with a conscious mind towards them. They're just moving, and they're moving us, and they're controlling us. They're controlling our actions. So we're moving and we're doing things, and we're not even really sure why we're doing it or whatever. So-and-so said so. What? My reaction. I didn't get a chance to really think about it because the subconscious mind jumped up and said, go to Brooklyn. It's time for Brooklyn. These people, whatever, threatening you, doing whatever, you better come, you have to come back, come with it. And I'm all caught up in it, right? And it's coming from not my conscious choice, not my conscious decisions to say I want to behave this way, I want to act this way. I'm just in the action. I'm just in the behavior. I'm just triggered. I'm just feeling fearful. And so whenever these things come about, we recognize that it's coming from someplace deep, but if you're not conscious of it, then it runs you. Your belief system that you have may no longer be serving you, but if you are not conscious of it, it will be running you, and it will run your life. It'll run the choices that you make, the decisions that you have, And you might not be making the ones you want to make for yourself, but you're making the ones that have been habituated in your being. They're in your belief system. They're in your subconscious mind. They've become a part of who you have been, not who you choose or want to be. And we feel then overtaken. And then all of a sudden, when you're in a situation, you know, you come here to Unity and to New Thought because it's what? It's a new thought program. Everybody comes here because we want to think in a different fashion. We've been attracted to these teachings because we know that they've worked, and we've had an opportunity to work them in our lives. We've had an opportunity to know that this is some good stuff here. And yet there have been times when an emergency or something else comes, all of a sudden we are plummeted back to our old belief system. I know God is good. And I know that I live in an abundant universe, that I'm an abundant child of a rich and loving father. I know that. Oh, but I just lost my job, and hey, I don't know where my money's going to come. All of a sudden, I've got fear thoughts that I might not make it. See, even though I believe and know my new thought, God is an abundant God, but all of a sudden, I'm being taken over by these fear thoughts, right? That I won't have enough money. Or maybe you break up and you're getting a divorce or whatever. And you know what? You know what? There's plenty of fish in the sea. I'm a lovable being. But then when that happens, all of a sudden, maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm not lovable. Maybe this won't happen for me. Maybe I'll never find, you know, my one true love or whatever. We go back into these old belief systems, even though as a true student, you know the new thought says, hey, love attracts. You can live a different way. But yet we find ourselves reverting what? Back to the old. Because it's a belief system that has not yet been addressed. So when we say, I'm going to say an affirmation, a positive affirmation. That's what we believe in. But denials are very important. If you haven't really shifted and changed your belief system that is now down in your subconscious and in your unconscious being, then when these affirmations, you can say them, but what's going to come up as your reality is what you're really feeling and thinking. An old thought, an old feeling, an old belief that no longer serves you, but it's operating in you. So we have to figure out, wow, how can I do this? And these thoughts that have been down, maybe it was a thought that was planted in your consciousness when you were 5 years old. And none of us know that. Where did that come from, right? That says, I can't do this. You heard, I can, I can, I can. And so that thought is with us. And yet we're saying our affirmations, I can, I can, I can. But the one that's deeply rooted is the one that's going to show itself and reveal itself. And some of these things in our belief system, some of these old paradigms and these old thoughts, they don't go easy into that good night. It's hard to get them away because it takes work. You know, it takes work. None but us can free our minds. It's going to take work sometime. And so I figured, okay, I have to keep dealing with this. I thought, you know, I believe in divine wholeness. I believe in miraculous healing. I believe in all that. But then this thought comes, I got to work with that. I have to work with that. It takes work. Now, in the middle of it taking work, I don't want us to get discouraged because the grace of God is always working too. So even though I have to work on my own consciousness, grace is at work. God's goodness is still at work. Jesus said, I work and my Father works. God is working on our behalf all the time, leading us to the goodness. But we also have to do our own work and our work in consciousness if we're going to free our minds. So the secret to the real secret of freedom is that nobody can give it to you. Nobody can give you peace. It's already yours. You already have it. But if you're stuck, if you're trapped mentally, then you have to work on your own consciousness to free yourself. You've got to do the work to emancipate yourself from mental slavery, working against you, not for you. Sometimes our thoughts work against us and not for us. Sometimes the words in which we speak and how we share works against us and not for us. And so when you notice, one of the things that I've noticed these thoughts coming up, and I said, okay, I've got to handle these unbidden thoughts. You can't come to my party. I need to be focused on faith. I need to be focused on health and wholeness. This is what I want to see. So you can't be here. But one of the things, it's not about pushing those thoughts out. You know, people talk about emotional regulation nowadays. You know, with children, they say we have to teach them how to emotionally regulate. You got to be careful that you're not emotionally repressing and not regulating, but you're repressing. We don't want to depress. You don't want to just say, no, don't think about that. No, don't think about that. No, don't think about that. Because that's what I'm going to be doing is what? Thinking about that, thinking about that. It doesn't work that way. So here's what I've been practicing and doing lately with these unbidden thoughts and feelings is that I've been practicing mindfulness. And I love that mindfulness is very simple. If I don't have the strength to even do something with the thought, all I need to do is notice that I'm having it. Notice that I'm having the thought, because most of the time we're not aware of our own thinking. It's happening, it's going on, it's automatic, but we're not conscious of it, or even of the types of thoughts that are running through our consciousness. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, all right, I may not be able to stop thoughts from popping up, for coming unbidden. We might not be able to stop them. They just come, okay? But I can minimize the effect of those thoughts on my consciousness, on my being. And I can minimize them by first noticing that I'm having that thought. The second thing I do in this practice of mindfulness is I take the time to name the thought. Oh, fear. Okay. Oh, upset. Okay. Oh, joy. Okay. Oh, beauty. Whatever. I'm taking the time to just see the thought as I am thinking the thought. And then I notice it and I name it and be aware that just seeing it and naming it really helps to free you from it. Because when you can see the thoughts that you're thinking, then they are no longer running you unconsciously. See the thoughts you're thinking so that they will no longer be running you unconsciously. See your thoughts or have what I call conscious awareness. Oh, this is what I'm feeling. Oh, I'm feeling so-and-so. Most of the time, we just go, if it's anger, we're just angry. We don't even say I'm angry. We just act out what? The emotion. We don't want to act out without knowing what we're feeling and doing, because that's how we get ourselves into trouble. So when we begin to really take the time to just notice. So with mindfulness, you can sit in a time of practice watching. Just keep watching. And as you get good at just sitting in your meditation time practicing mindfulness, you also can begin to do it so that when you're in the middle of living and doing life, you can notice, oh, okay, that was an anger thought right there. And it'll start to pop up. You'll be able to see yourself and you'll be able to see your behaviors and you can make a different choice. So if I'm driving in and I notice, ooh, this is where sometimes my stuff shows up as I'm driving in cars and people are slow or they're not turning correctly. And I'm like, oh, lady, can you just turn your car? And then I'm like, you know what? Oh, look at that. And I can see it. And because I can see it, I can then make a conscious choice. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let that go. Bless you. And I've shifted because I was able to see the anger, the judgment rising up, and I could make a different choice. And you know what? No, I'm going to bless them. Let me let it go. And as I'm practicing this more and more, I'm having more peace because it rises up. I see it. I have a choice. I can either let it pass, just see it, name it, let it go, because guess what? Because another one's going to be up there. Another thought will come. You know, not unless you're really doing deep meditation and you're in silence, but if you're conscious, thoughts are going to, if you're conscious, you're going to be thinking. It's coming, right? Not unless you've practiced the ability to be conscious without thought. But that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother level, a whole nother skill as you become more practiced in your meditation. As you meditate more, the stillness of your being begins to take over more so that you can be functioning and conscious without chatter, thought. You're at the thought and the feeling is peace and oneness, and until something comes and you have to address it or you have to speak to someone. You're not walking around like a zombie, but you're in a state of peace. That's a whole nother level of expression that we can get to. But I want us to just deal with the basics. You know, how do I handle these unbidden thoughts in the middle of me doing life? So when I begin to name them and see them and just notice them, then I can choose. I'm at a place where I can let them pass, or I can say, well, let me consciously engage this thought. If I feel that, oh, gee, I've got some fear coming up, let me see if I can consciously engage this thought, right? Because here's the thing. I want better understanding. I want to heal myself. So I want to engage this thought, but not from a judgmental point of view. See, most of the time we'll see it, and we can name it, but then we add another thing of judging it. Nobody told you to judge that thought. But we then say, oh, this is bad. Oh, my God, Sylvia, you're a minister, and you're having these thoughts. Why are you doing that? What a terrible, you know, now I'm off on something else, and I'm not even doing the work. I'm judging. And if I judge myself bad enough and hard enough, what will happen? I'm just not going to address it. I'm just, well, you know what? So I want to heal whatever, but I want to address it from awareness, conscious awareness. And awareness without judgment is what enables us to then gather the better part of what is this feeling, this thought, this energy, this situation, this circumstance. What is it trying to show me? What is it bringing to me? You see, if you get to the place where you can remain conscious enough to be with the thought, to notice it, but not from a judgmental point of view, but from a place of, you can even ask, what is this experience? What is this emotion trying to show me? What is this teaching me right now? What am I being taught right now? What do I need to see in this moment? Now, these are questions we don't usually stop to ask when we're in the middle of our stuff. But if we can practice this, I'm telling you, it'll heal you. It'll heal you on many levels. So you can even ask when you're in the middle of that and you notice, oh, anger, oh, upset, oh, fear, oh, rejection, oh, abandonment, whatever it is. Oh, and you can name it. Then you can say, okay, well, why are you here? What is it that I need to learn from you? What is it that I need to be healed of in this moment? You see, every time we find ourselves in a low vibration or a stress or anxiety or something's coming up, we think it's bad, bad, bad. But it really is a signal. It's the universe saying, I want you to see something. Wake up. Pay attention. See? And so if we can not look like we're being punished or that the universe is bringing us this bad situation and here this stuff is again. No. Ooh, what is it trying to show me? What is the universe? Because the universe is always conspiring for our good. Always. But we have named the situation bad. So that's the judgment. No judgment. But you can see, oh, this situation is bringing upset or whatever it is. And then, well, why has it come? What is it teaching me? What do I need to see about myself? Why do I keep having these repeated responses to the same situation? Why am I triggered? Why, you know, or why am I able to even, you know, behold the exquisite beauty of life itself? What is this joy all about? You know, but most of the time we're not living in bliss and joy. We're living in the ordinariness of, oh gosh, until we can recognize that once we see what that thought, that feeling, that old paradigm, that belief system that we're holding, and we can see it, and once we see it, we can make a new choice. Then we can have a new thought. That's why we call ourselves what? New thought. No sense in having, and most of us know new thought principles. Is there anybody here that's not aware of some spiritual principles? Some new thought ideas? You're here because you know them. You're attracted to them. But are they at a place in your being where those are the unbidden thoughts that come? When you're in the bind and you're in a situation, what unbidden thoughts, what are the qualities that come up? Are they the old ones? Are these like, you know what? The unbidden thought comes, piece of cake, I can handle it, no problem. Is it positive? We can let these positive thoughts and feelings be our unbidden thoughts that come in times of trial and tribulation, that come when we're being challenged, so that our default is the thoughts of truth. But in order for that to happen, we've got to take these beliefs and work with them. And so when they come up to be healed, we have to see, oh, okay, this is what's teaching me. I see it. This is an old belief. I want a new belief. And then we begin to work. So when you see, because if you can't see what needs to be healed, you'll just keep repeating it. So we take the time to do the inner work, to let's see what's there. Let me see what kinds of thoughts that I'm having. And now, oh, this is why it's coming. This is why it's teaching me. And once I get this better understanding, this new thought, this new insight, this new vibration, I work with that. I work with that. I work with that. Now, that doesn't mean that an unbidden thought's not going to jump up in there. But when it does, oh, let me, oh, okay. Where are you? Who are you? Why are you here? What are you teaching me? Right? What blessing are you giving me? What's the good you want me to see? And just start working with it from that consciousness, not with judgment, but with awareness, conscious awareness. God created us, gave us this wonderful gift that we have, right? It's the mind. God bless the person who's able to keep his mind on peace, right? Keep my mind on peace. Keep my mind on God. Keep my mind on the good. But that takes practice. That takes awareness and attention. That takes you being mindful. What is man that God is mindful of him? God is mindful of us. But we need to be mindful of God. We need to turn this mind around so that the thoughts we think, the feelings we have, the projections, the paradigm, are the truth that we want to see, the truth we want to experience. But it is a process. But when we do this and we emancipate ourselves from mental slavery, from all the blocks and the traps and the triggers and all that, when we free our minds from that, then we are free indeed. Then the spirit of the living God that indwells us has full capacity, full space, because we ain't all up in the way. Full ability to work through us, to work its magic through us, to give its blessings to and through us, so that our lives then become the lives we want to live and we want to experience. We create the heaven on earth when we understand how to remove that which keeps us from the truth that sets us free. So my thing is, free your mind and your life will follow. Blessings. Blessings. Thank you.